Good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're having with us Sarah Leslie, and she is actually the publisher of a fascinating book called Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. Now, I think this is something that Christians really need to talk about. I don't ordinarily like to get into quarrels or differences between various religious beliefs, but when I think that there is something that is infiltrating both the Catholic and Protestant churches that will take them away from the scriptures and lead them into a false direction, what I see, what I believe, is a great apostasy sweeping across America today, then I feel I have an obligation to speak out. And certainly Warren Smith, who wrote this book, I think has done a really an amazing job, because sometimes, you know, I can go by my basic feelings and know something is wrong, but I don't have all of the details. Well, Warren actually came out of the New Age. He was deeply involved in the occult, the Course in Miracles of which they teach, and so many of the things in the New Age movement. And then, of course, he came to have a personal relationship with the Lord, both he and his wife. And he, I think, is in a far better position than I, or than most people, to understand that there is something wrong, but how would you put your finger on it? Now, we know that the whole idea of the purpose-driven church is manipulation. It's introducing the ideas of Peter Drucker, who was a transformational, a psychologist, call it what you will. They brought these ideas of transformational manipulation, control, into corporate America, and then into our education. And the third step was to take over the churches of America. And, of course, this is exactly what's happened. And although I don't think that the purpose of Christianity is manipulation, I think it's a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, certainly the way it's going today is far more than simply manipulation. They're introducing a new religion. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
It's nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, now, of course, you obviously feel very deeply about this, and you've helped to get this book put out and published, and you did a very, very nice job on it. And we're going to be carrying this book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. How would you bring the New Age into Christianity? After all, the New Age is the antithesis of Christianity.
Well, that's a really good question, and I think that Warren actually addresses it in the book quite well. One of the easiest ways to do it is the use of terminology. If you use a buzzword, that means one thing to one group of people and another thing to another group of people, that's one easy, easy way of bringing in the New Age into the church.
Well, you know, of course, Christianity is built upon the Bible. Certainly, the Protestant feels that they can interpret them themselves. The Catholic feels that they have to have it interpreted by the priest or by the hierarchy of the church. And this was one of the reasons for the Protestant Reformation. But I think that whether Catholic or Protestant, we believe in the validity of the Scriptures. What has happened here is they've done away with the validity of the Scriptures. They have actually taken 15 different translations of God's Holy Word, and after all, this is the Holy Word of God. All 15 different translations? We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty to discuss what I think is a very, very serious problem that is spreading across America today in the purpose-driven church. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Sarah Leslie. We're talking about the Deceived on Purpose, a new book that's just come out, which will explain to you really how this whole thing works and taking so much out of the writings of Rick Warren, and really of tracing them back to their true origin, and that is Robert Schuller. In fact, although Rick Warren doesn't acknowledge publicly that his writings are those of Robert Schuller, they really are, aren't they?
Yeah, that was one of the most shocking things to me when Warren Smith first called me and said, I'm working on a manuscript for this book, and I want you to know that one of the major influences on Rick Warren's life was this Robert Schuller. I said, well, wait a minute, how could that be? I had just finished writing the monograph that my husband and Susan Conway and I had co-authored called The Pied Pipers of Purpose, in which we had talked about how Peter Drucker was one of the major influences and had been a mentor, quote-unquote, of Rick Warren. So I said, well, what do you mean, Robert Schuller? He says, I'm telling you, it's Robert Schuller.
Well, of course, couldn't it be both of them?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. In fact, now you have to raise the question, well, how much was Robert Schuller influenced by Peter Drucker? Because certainly Peter Drucker would have been around and active in some of the early church work that he was doing with Robert Schuller. I'm not quite sure, but in any case, the whole concept of this mega church was very influential with Rick Warren when he was a young man. He drove an old beat-up car all the way to California just to study under Robert Schuller and learn from the master.
And I think people have to understand who Robert Schuller is. He is the minister of the Crystal Cathedral, and he has come up with a whole different interpretation of the Scriptures. All protesting that he believes in the validity of the Scriptures, his teachings are, if you look at them very carefully, deeply rooted in the New Age. He brings New Age people onto his pulpit. He encourages people to begin looking within themselves as a source of strength. He brings people like Gorbachev onto the program and tells what a wonderful Christian he is. He brings New Agers there and introduces their ideas, not only to the people of his own congregation, but through the miracle of television to people all across America. He puts on the most magnificent productions, theatrical productions at Easter and Sunday. It's a great and very entertaining church, and the people who go there really are entertained. But they are not deeply schooled in the Scriptures, and this is the problem. In fact, so much of this really takes them away from the Scriptures, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it's such a perversion of the Scriptures.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Sarah Leslie, who's done really a treatise on this whole church growth movement, going into the part that Peter Drucker, who is not known as a Christian or a theologian, but as a transformational psychologist, or call it what you will, transformation psychologist, I suppose, would be the term to use. He's 90 years old. He is the guru of transforming businesses, transforming business, and now transforming the Christian church using the business manipulation methods that, of course, are ruthless in the way they're imposed. You've probably seen Donald Trump, the part of The Apprentice. You know, you're fired. Well, you're certainly in this whole idea of Peter Drucker's. If you are in a church and you don't want to go along with it, you're thrown out of the church. You're known as a blessed subtraction. You will not allow, you will not tolerate any differing with the views as the church moves away from the gospel towards this new vision of Christianity that will not only change the church in America, it will change the world. There is a transformational program, Christianity, well, not really Christianity. Let's put this, the new religion that is being advocated, taking people away from their belief in the scriptures, more into a feeling, an experiential type of religion. So you pick up the story there, Sarah, because you're much better informed on this than I.
Well, it's basically not a new religion. It's a very old religion, as you and I both know. The story of the entire purpose-driven church is still kind of shrouded in mystery as far as I'm concerned. The more I research it and the more other researchers that I work with follow it, the worse it gets, because you've got a mixture of neo-evangelicalism. That's what I call it. I don't know what other people call it, but you have a perversion of doctrines from the scripture, and from that premise, then you can bring in all sorts of things. What Warren Smith was writing about in his book, Deceived on Purpose, was that he had some friends of his that were putting pressure on him. They said, "Oh, you've got to read this. Got to read this book. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread."
Is the purpose-driven life.
The purpose-driven life.
They 10 million copies out there. It's got to be good. If everybody's buying it,
yeah,
being pushed out by all the people on the other side, it must be good.
And, of course, Warren Smith said, well, the very first thing that struck him is that he'd already encountered the name Rick Warren, but it didn't mean anything to him at the time, in a book that was written right after 9-1-1. It was a New Age book called From the Ashes, A Spiritual Response to the Attack on America. And it had articles by all sorts of very well-known New Age leaders, but it also featured Christian writers like Billy Graham and Bruce Wilkinson, Chuck Colson, Max Lucado, Bill Hybels, Jerry Jenkins, T.D. Jakes, and, of course, Rick Warren.
But, of course, you know, good people can sometimes get sucked into doing something like that,
right,
without realizing that they are appearing on the podium, or at least on the in the literary podium, with people who worship a different god.
Well, that was his whole concern, is that these men that were New Agers that were writing in the book were calling for a new gospel. And they said that since all this terrible stuff had happened to America on September 11th, we all needed this new gospel that said we are all one. You know, the peace gospel.
And it was all mankind is one.
If we all get together. Yeah, this doctrine of oneness. Now, one of the things that is a thread throughout the entire book, Deceived on Purpose, is that Warren Smith keeps finding references to We Are All One in Rick Warren's material. And he finds it in Robert Schuller's material, this doctrine of oneness.
The oneness of all humanity, and of course,
right,
we are not our brother's keeper, except, of course, as we are all sons and daughters of the same God.
Mm-hmm.
To make advocate the brotherhood of man without the fatherhood of God is
yes,
to make of all mankind a race of bastards. So said Bishop Fulton Sheehan many years ago, and I think that was so beautifully said.
That's perfect. And the other doctrine he kept finding, that's a New Age doctrine, is this doctrine of immanence, that God is in everything. That God is, it's a pantheistic doctrine, that God's in the trees, and he's in the leaves, and he's in you, and he's in me, and he's in all these New Age leaders. And he said, wait a minute, that isn't what the Scripture says. You know, that's a pantheistic view. That's an occultic view. That's not what the Scripture says. So, of course, that troubled him also. And
in fact, I just, before I came on, I was listening to a minister, a supposed evangelical minister, talking about we ought to go in the garden and look at a flower and meditate on that flower. And by meditating on the flower, why we can begin to understand God. Well, God isn't in that flower. God created that flower, and it's wonderful to marvel at the flower. But when we begin identifying with the flower or things, then we lose sight of what Christianity is really all about. It's not the flower. Flower is simply made like everything else is made by God, but God isn't in that flower, and He isn't in me as such. The Holy Spirit is indwelling in us, but this idea that of immanence, and isn't that the term that they use that suggests that God is in everything and is in us, and we are all one, not only with our fellow mankind, but with the rocks and the trees and the flowers.
Yeah, here's a quote from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. He claims that the Bible says He rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. Well, of course, that paraphrase of the Bible, the message, is one that Rick Warren relies heavily upon.
And of course,
it's not even a translation of the Bible. It's a paraphrase, and it perfectly suits the New Agers.
And I think that the message certainly is the most frequently quoted text within the Purpose-Driven Church book.
Yes, it is.
And, of course, this basically has all sorts of New Age phraseology in it, and it's changed the meaning of the gospel. Now, either the Bible is the Word of God or it's not. So why would you have 15 different Bibles other than you want to confuse people so they can't think clearly at all about the Word of God? And I don't think this is done accidentally. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
And I think that if you can get people, you know, saying, well, my Bible says this, and well, my Bible says that, and well, the Message says this, and the Living Bible says that, then what's the Word of God? And, well, there really isn't any Word of God. It's all a fraud. And that, I think this has been done very intentionally, always with the name of, well, we're trying to improve the scriptures. And they're not, they're intentionally and purposely destroying them. You cannot memorize the verses in 15 different scriptures. They know that, and this is an attack on Christianity, and unfortunately the average Christian has no idea.
Well, one of the most amazing premises of Warren Smith's book, Deceived on Purpose, is he says that as a New Ager, if he had been searching for God by going to one of these purpose-driven churches and someone had handed him this book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says, I wouldn't have gotten saved, because the scriptures in there are all of these loose translations and paraphrases, and he compares them side by side in a number of different places in his book, Deceived on Purpose, and he's saying, look at folks, if I had read this verse compared to how it reads in the traditional King James Version, notice the difference in what it says. And he says, because these new paraphrases are using New Age buzzwords, that he would have been perfectly thinking he was already saved, just because he thought he was worshiping Jesus when he went to this course called The Course in Miracles, because it talked about Jesus and it talked about the Bible, but it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. And so it's kind of alarming when you think about it that a New Ager could actually comfortably sit in one of these churches and never even realize they were a sinner in need of salvation.
And of course, one of the things that they do that Warren Smith talks about is the use of the phrase as above, so below. And the Lord's Prayer, according to the Message, is this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Let the world right do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with three square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. And the King James Version, of course, says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, the substitution of the phrase as above, so below in the Message is taken directly from occult writings. And the occultists use this phrase over and over and over again. And if you read the Message, which, of course, is the most frequently quoted translation in the Purpose-Driven Church, why, if you read that translation of the Bible, or really paraphrasing the Bible, over and over again they refer to as above, so below, as above, so below. Now, why would they use a New Age term? Because every New Ager, every occultist would recognize that term. Why would they use that in a Christian translation of the Bible? Because it's not Christian, because it's transforming the Word of God so that it will draw people really into this new occult religion where they begin meditating on various things and taken away from the Word of God into this new religion.
Yeah, That's true. And they also all, they believe that they can create, that man will evolve to the state of heaven on earth, and that they need to change things here on earth, including change mankind, through the United Nations, through the New Age, through whatever they can, to create this heaven on earth. Well, you and I know that it would be a hell on earth.
Well, unfortunately, there are powerful forces today. Their major purpose is to destroy Christianity, and of course to destroy the United States, which was certainly at one time a Christian nation. And until people understand that behind all of this movement today, in my estimation, are dark spiritual forces that are energizing this movement, and I think most of the people involved are good people. But of course they have gotten into it because it succeeds. After all, the churches are full. They love the music. They brought what I believe the devil's music, the rock and roll music, into our churches, and of course we replaced worship of God with worship of, well, that's up to you to decide. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or out across America at 464-8295. And this is a controversial subject, but I think it has to be addressed, because nobody else is addressing it, or very, very few people are. Certainly John MacArthur, who was certainly one of my heroes, the person I think one of the great ministers of our time, who's been willing to take on very, very difficult issues, has done a five-part video, which unfortunately we do not carry, but which is available through Cross TV. And of course he spends 5 hours talking about what's happening in the church and his deep concern about what's happening. But let's get into some of the other things that you see there, Sarah, that really are undermining the very message of the Bible and the relationship between people and their God.
Well, I think that probably one of the most deceptive things that Rick Warren is teaching is the lack of discernment. In other words, you as a Christian are being taught that you don't really need to exercise discernment. You don't need to know about the end times. Those things aren't important. And that it's more important that everybody just be part of this big giant buddy system, that you become peer oriented. In fact, I think I've said it before, another word I use is the peer driven church, because everything is horizontal in the focus. The focus isn't on God as much as the focus is on how you fit in as part of the group, as part of the team. Of course, a lot of your listeners would identify with this right away, because they'd recognize it as the same plan and program that comes out of Total Quality Management, and the same plan and program we see instituted in the schools under outcome-based education. So the program for the church is identical. It's a shifting of focus, and it's transforming the church, although some of the men use the word reformation. But reformation is essentially the transformation of the church to a new structure. You would be shocked at how many times in the literature that accompanies all of this purpose-driven plan, you find the word new. There's always something new. And they even boldly make the assertion that God is doing new things, that God is using new theology. They're creating new theology. And that God is using new ecclesiologies, and we have new understandings. So not only are they changing the scripture with these paraphrases and translations, but they're also changing the interpretations of classic Christian doctrines. Traditional Christian doctrines that if you look them up in theology books 100, 200, 300 years ago, they're not the same anymore. Now we have new revelations and new meanings. So all of this is bent on turning the church into a vehicle that can help to pacify the peoples of the planet. That's my theory, is that the church, this global church that we see emerging, is supposed to keep everybody pretty calm and peaceful and team-oriented, and try to keep all the dissenters, you know, ostracized, abandoned, as Peter Drucker calls it.
In other words, what they want to do is get anybody who won't go along with this new program they have to alter Christianity to get rid of them, to force them out of the church. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be a fair statement. They need to ameliorate the extreme.
Hold the thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking about the movement that is sweeping the church in America today. In fact, it's sweeping the world, and a quotation from this book we're talking about, it's entitled Deceived on Purpose, and you want to get it, you want to read it, and you want to think about it, quotes a man named Bruce Wilkinson, who is a frequent guest on Robert Schuller's Hour of Power, and Bruce Wilkinson has sort of a different interpretation of the scriptures, but he was actually talking at Saddleback Church and said this: the platform that God has given to Saddleback Church in Orange County is large, but whether or not you know this or not, the platform that God is giving to this church is far larger in the world than it is here. And you are at a historic moment because you are at the front of the wedge of the Spirit of Almighty God. And what Pastor Rick is going to share next week about the Saddlebacks' global vision is right from heaven's heart. I promise, I know what it is. It's like that. I want you to understand something. I've never said this to any other church. I never would. 'Cause it's the only church I believe it's true. History is being made here. And of course, what was this new movement? It's a movement to take over the Christianity throughout the world, to change Christianity, to use it to join all people together in preparation for the New World Order and the New World Religion, which I believe will be worship of the Antichrist. But we'll have to wait and see. Certainly, they just changed the entire message of the scriptures, and this is what is really so frightening. And they keep referring to translations of the Bible, which would be just as acceptable in a New Age church as they would be in a Christian church. Go ahead, Sarah.
One of the things that was the most shocking to me about the Bruce Wilkinson quotes is connecting this to what he called God's dream.
How did they know what God's dream is? I thought that we've got that out of the scriptures, not from men.
Yeah, that's what's so alarming. There's actually websites devoted to talking about what this God's dream is, and they have the audacity, the boldness to assert that Rick Warren's plan and Bruce Wilkinson's plan is God's plan, that he's given his plan to them, and they will initiate it worldwide. And they're taking it to the nations as we speak. They're very aggressively launching this all across the planet right now, the global peace plan.
And I think it's so important that people understand this is an international effort.
A massive
peace plan that will touch every Christian denomination in the world, and they're traveling to Europe and they're traveling to Asia. They are the official representatives of God to bring the new gospel, not the old gospel. We're certainly not going to use the word of God as translated, because we've done everything we can to alter the word of God and confuse the word of God and bring in different translations and stress the message. And I think you have to read the message. Bible translation that would be just as well sold in a New Age bookstore, and probably even more so than in a Christian bookstore. In fact, I'm amazed this is sold in a Christian bookstore, because it is such a variance with the Holy Word of God.
That's true.
And you can actually find these websites up there about God's dream.
Oh, yes.
What you do is you get them, type in Google and then God's
probably,
dream?
Yes, just try it and see what you come up with. Because God's dream, you have to go back to Wilkinson's book about, it has to do with basically discarding your old traditional belief system.
You mean your old traditional Christian belief system?
Yeah, your doctrines, and enlarging your borders, and enlarging your thoughts, and enlarging your doctrines so you can accommodate these other world religions. That's essentially what I think is going on, is you have to transform yourself. The book reads like something straight out of the psychological and sociological transformation of the past 100 years, the stuff that Dean Gocher talks about.
Well, now, what is the title of the book? Do you recall offhand? Is this
Yes, I'm just looking for it here. It's The Dream Giver.
This is Bruce Wilkinson's book.
Yeah, The Big Dream. Interestingly enough, there's a business management book out there that my husband recently reviewed called Who Moved My Cheese, which is almost the identical plot to The Dream Giver, but it's for the people in the corporate world to transform themselves.
And, of course, what we're doing is transforming Christianity. And,
yeah,
of course, Christianity then is going to lead the world into God's dream. But
yeah,
what is God's dream? Why, all religions are going to get by together. Does that sound like Christianity? No, Christianity was to be separate. It was to be a different type of religion. But now we're to join together in one big happy world. Well, when we get back, we're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I would like to suggest that Christianity as we know it is under attack from within today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon or this evening is Sarah Leslie, and we're talking about, of course, what's happening in the Christian church today. And, of course, this idea that God has given a special dream to Rick Warren and to Bruce Wilkinson and to the people who are working with them. We are going to transform the world today. Now, actually, this is a very, very successful movement, isn't it? I mean, isn't subtle. Back Church, one of the largest churches in Southern California, very, very
yes,
prosperous, has all sorts of people coming in, it seems
yes,
to have unlimited wealth there. So this really is successful, bringing in this music into the church with the heavy drum beat and, you know, the rock and roll rhythms. So what's wrong with that? Isn't, after all, it's successful. Why aren't we being petty to be critical?
Maybe. I'm sure that's the spin that people put on what we have to say. But, you know, the Scripture does require us to contend for the faith. And the Scriptures do talk about those who have a form of godliness but deny the power. And the Scriptures warn us about not staying true to those core doctrines of the faith that are the foundation of what we believe. And so we're talking about foundational issues here. We're talking about fundamentals of the faith, things that we could agree on that mean that you are a Christian and that I am a Christian. These are being changed at the very, very base. Because once we start altering doctrines by saying things like God is in everything, we're introducing an element of pantheism, of paganism that's, we haven't seen in the evangelical churches up until now. This, I mean, this opens the doors for an incredible mixture of a pantheistic soup. And it may have the Christian words still on it, but what do the words mean?
And, of course, how is this going to impact on the individual? Well, the individual is in this church, and really he's almost trapped in it, because if he speaks out, why, he'll be thrown out of the church, and,
mm-hmm,
and then he'll lose all of his friends, he'll lose certainly the support from the Christian church, and, of course, he will be ostracized, you know, and he will be asked to leave the church. I mean, this is the way they are. They do not allow any dissent at all as far as the new religion, or you're not allowed to question the doctrines of the changed church. And this is the thing, not only that, but all the churches throughout the world are taking on the same message, because the ministers are all getting their sermons right off of the web. They're all preferred. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Sarah Leslie, and we're going to invite your calls from out across America. This is a controversial subject, and I don't necessarily like to get up and dwell with differences, theological differences, but this is not a theological question between different sects of Christianity. This is a theological difference between Christianity and the new religion, the new apostasy which is sweeping the church, and certainly what they're doing now is they're trying to get the same message taught from pulpits all across America, all across the world. So the minister doesn't have to sit down and contemplate the Word of God and write a sermon. Why, you can get it up off the Internet, and they're right there. And, of course, the minister is so busy making his church grow, managing his church, because the minister no longer is really the representative of God to the people. He's a businessman, and he's trying to make the business of the church successful. And in the process, he has to give a sermon every Sunday, but you don't have to worry about it. Rick Warren's organization provides that for you. And so your sermon will correspond to sermons being given all across America, indeed, all across the world. Isn't that wonderful that we can have sort of a uniform message being given on pulpits all across the country? Have you got into these sermons that are being provided for the ministers?
Yes. Actually, one of the most shocking things is that pastors who become part of the program and decide to put their church through the purpose-driven transformation, the 40 Days of Purpose, can actually sign up on a website called pastors.com, and they get pre-canned sermons off of this website. And there are some other websites that are doing the same thing, where the pastors who have been initiated into this whole new idea and way of thinking and way of running their church then get the pre-canned sermons. So an identical sermon could be preached all across the country in pulpits everywhere if they're all on the same page. And it's scary. It's alarming. I've even heard from various people who found out that their pastors were doing this. It's cheapening the church.
Well, and I telephone them. Go ahead.
Homogenizing the church too.
Of course, is everything to be the same. And we have probably 50 different sects of Christianity, of Protestant Christianity, mm-hmm. and they have many different sects within the Catholic Church. But now we will be united because we can have common sermons, and of course they're all carefully designed to go along with this new message that the Christian church has. And it's not the old message, because it's not the message of the scriptures, because, well, after all, there aren't any real scriptures. There's so many different translations of them. And as you get into the message, and if you haven't read the message, I'd suggest you get this and then you read it with the King James Bible right next to it, and you'll be amazed, you'll be shocked. I hope you'll be horrified to realize what they're doing. And notice how over and over again they keep using that New Age occultic phrase, as above, so below, throughout the message which is being now introduced into the Christian church. And yet, of course, it is not a Christian gospel. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. And we're getting calls from people all over this country on a regular basis, two or three a week, from people who their church is going into this. And of course, what they do is they do it very sneakily. They're not straightforward and honest about what they're doing. They begin to do it very gradually as the minister comes to church one day, and it's a hot day, so he takes off his coat. You know, nearly might wear a blue coat or dark coat or something of the sort. But there he's just there with his church, with his white shirt and his tie on. And then pretty soon the tie is gone after a few months. And pretty soon it's a sports shirt and sports slacks. And the minister is walking around the stage, and there's all sorts of entertainment. And really, then with the music preparing you, and of course the drum beat of the music, the music that we see at the rock bands, but now of course they put a few Christian words to it, and we repeat these phrases over and over and again in a mantra to put you into an almost hypnotic state to prepare you for the message which is coming. And the message is the transformation of the church. And just as Peter Drucker transformed the corporate world, as he transformed the educational system, So now we have a new management technique. And remember, this is a management technique having nothing to do with the Holy Scriptures. It has to do with the church growth management program that is designed to change the church and, of course, change its structure and then ultimately change the world. These people certainly have quite a goal. I mean, there are not very many people who think they're going to change the world, are there?
These people are boldly asserting that they will.
All right, well, let's go to Evelyn, who's calling us from Massachusetts. Hi, Evelyn. Have you called before?
No, I haven't, Dr. Dan. I listen to you every night, though.
Well, I'm glad you are. And
I'm
thought
so
you were
glad you're on
caller.
The air.
Okay, fine. Well, tell us, are you listening shortwave or internet?
Shortwave.
Okay, fine. You coming in all right?
Very good.
Okay, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to talk to the lady that's on your program.
It's Sarah Leslie.
Leslie. And it says that the ecumenism that they've been trying to get all the religions together to agree and have this one world religion. And it almost tells you in the Bible, it does tell you in the Bible about the beast, the political beast and the religious beast joined together to rule the world.
Right.
Isn't that what they're doing?
Sarah, would you respond?
Yes, actually, chapter 14 of this book, Deceived on Purpose, that we've been talking about tonight by Warren Smith, is entitled False Christ with a Purpose. And here is a whole chapter where he's talking about Maitreya, who is a man who's claiming to be the Christ returned.
Yeah.
And it's a New Age scam. It's a New Age Christ. And so Warren Smith is using him as an example of how easily deceptive this could be to, you know, set up this end-time false prophet, the end-time false religion, because that Maitreya's religion, in a lot of ways, he's talking about how God is in everything, and he's talking about purpose. Purpose is one of Maitreya's favorite words. And he's talking about the God within everybody, the doctrine of oneness. And so, again, the similarities are very alarming.
In fact, if you, I take a magazine, it's called Share International. And Share is put out by Benjamin Krem, who is the, he is the disciple of Maitreya, the Christ, of course, not Jesus Christ, but the Christ, who, of course, will be for the Christian, the Christ, for the Jew, the Messiah, for the Hindu, Maitreya, for Muslim, the Imam Mahdi, and of course each religion is waiting for this new leader to come, and that is what Maitreya is to be. And of course he is apparently living over in the Pakistani section of London, waiting to declare himself. But we have other false Christs. We have a man named Sun Moon, and of course he has put hundreds of millions of dollars into the Washington Times, probably one of the best newspapers we have in the United States. But tremendous influence as far as the American people is concerned. But of course, he's doing this for a purpose. So I believe you're absolutely right, Elizabeth. I think we are, Evelyn, I think that we are moving into those times that are prophesied in the Bible, and we are seeing an apostate church moving towards a new world religion going right along with the new world government.
You've got it. So we have to ask God for discernment, and we won't be fooled, you know? Open our eyes.
Well, I hope you'll get some of those people back there in Massachusetts listening to us, although
that's
scary country, I know.
They always pick on Massachusetts, and I say, well, Lord, I come from Massachusetts. I believe in you, and I love you, and you love me. So right away they say, oh, Massachusetts, she's a goner. We have a very bad reputation here, don't we?
No, you've got a lot of wonderful people in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Some of our best supporters are back there. Anyway, anything else, Evelyn?
I just want to say that, you know, it's very scary what you see and how they use psychic power. That's the devil's tool. He uses psychic power to fool everybody. You know, the nice music, the pretty colored windows, the long robes, the folded hands that look holy. You can't fool God, Dr. Dan.
I know you can't.
Okay.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our My guest this evening is Sarah Leslie. The book we're talking about was written by Warren Smith, who will be our guest here in a couple of weeks. His book is called Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And what you get as you read this book, you begin to realize that so much of the ideas that are being put forward in the Purpose-Driven Church are not Rick Warren's ideas. They're the ideas of Robert Schuller, but he doesn't tell people that because many people know that Robert Schuller is deeply involved with another branch of Christendom, not Christendom at all, but really a New Age religion. And, of course, we actually, if any of you haven't seen the interview where Robert Schuller interviews Billy Graham, it's in our amazing clips, and Robert Schuller is trying to get Billy Graham to say, you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven. Let me repeat that. You do not have to be a Christian to get to heaven. And he finally gets Billy Graham to say that. And, of course, then Robert Schuller just glows and says, oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Why would he be glad to hear somebody say, you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven? Because if that's true, then Christianity itself is a lie. But, unfortunately, there are people who may wear the robes and talk the talk, but, of course, they don't believe in what they say. So if you're out there in the listening audience and incidentally you'd like to see that film clip, it's called The Amazing Clips, and we actually have that, either the 15-minute version or the 3-hour and 40-minute version. That's either The Amazing Clips, the 15-minute version, or the 3-hour and 40-minute version, but it's a series of amazing clips, video clips, that will help you better to understand what's going on in the world today, put together by our good friend David Wagner, and we certainly recommend those to you. We also, of course, recommend Warren Smith's book. We think it's an important addition to our understanding of these times as we begin moving away from Christianity towards the new world religion. Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. All you have to remember is Deceived on Purpose, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to learn more about the Deceived on Purpose or about the amazing video clips which are available through Radio Liberty. Well, Sarah, you know, what sort of response are you getting with this book as it's just coming out now? Is it very widely circulated across America yet?
It's getting that way. Word of mouth. This is what's so fun about it, is that word of mouth. We are finding groups, pockets of people all over the country who are holed up in their homes with little home Bible study groups. Sometimes these home Bible study groups are working way outside the authorization of their local church, because this day and age, it's kind of back to having to have secret Bible studies again. And these people are just eating this up because it's telling them the truth. It's explaining to them why they had that check in their spirit about getting more involved with the purpose-driven life or the purpose-driven church. Recently, Lynn and I, my husband and I, did a conference with Discernment Ministries out in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and here was a whole church that just wanted us to come in and explain to them what happened. What happened to the church the last 20 or 30 years? Because all of these people had been refugees from other churches, and they'd all been through all of these things, seeing the churches compromise and get sold out on all of these modern worship structures and new theologies. And so we actually did a conference. It's actually taped. It's at discernment-ministries.com. And that website, you can order the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania tapes. And that we kind of give the history of the New Age movement and the history of how all of this started entering the modern evangelical church. It was a great opportunity to speak to people and help them to understand what's happened.
Well, I think the thing is that Lucifer hates Christianity. And, of course, attacking it from without is pretty hard to do. People recognize what you're doing. But when, of course, you come from within and you talk the talk and then you begin to alter the message, that is far more effective.
Yes.
There is an organized plan to destroy Christianity. There is a war against Christianity, and the tragedy is most Christians have no idea what's going on. Most of them don't want to be confrontational. Most of them don't want to be controversial, and yet you're going to have to be if you're going to be true to your faith. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a third rail question. I'm not asking you to name names, but have you sought out and or been rejected for any interviews on the ostensibly sound Christian talk shows, besides Dr. Stan, of course?
Well, unfortunately, most of us that do any work in the discernment field at all have pretty much been blacklisted over the years. You know, I mean, I'm the publisher of Charlotte Isserbeat's book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, and Charlotte Isserbeat, Anita Hoag, a number of the Christian leaders from the 1990s found ourselves, we couldn't get on in any of the major Christian media. And that's because they've all pretty much sold out to this whole plan and program.
I don't feel bad, though, because I can't get on either. These ones, I can get on a lot of secular programs because many of them want to hear the message we have. But so many of the major Christian ministries do not want to be controversial. In fact, I believe many of our major Christian ministries have been infiltrated by people from the other side so that the message won't get out. Anything else, Roger?
God bless you all.
Thanks so much. Okay. Well, our guest this evening is Sarah Leslie. We're talking about the purpose-driven church, and this is one of the most amazing phenomenon of modern times. And so many good people have been drawn into this. Well over 300,000 Christian Protestant ministers and leading Protestant laymen have been through the indoctrination program. I know people have been there. They come back. They're so enthusiastic. What a wonderful way to spread the new gospel, without ever realizing that they were far better off with the old gospel than the new gospel, because this is not the good news of the divinity of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of the fact that we are all divine. God is in each one of us, of the immanence of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is not immanent. He is not in each and every one of us as such. You know, we are not little gods, and certainly God is not in the rose and in the rock and in the tree, and we are not all one, because that's pantheism. And yet this is exactly what we're getting into. Increasingly there's a call to meditate on these things. Well, we want to meditate on the Word of God. We don't want to meditate on God's productions and God's creations. And yet that, of course, is the message that's going out. Sarah, just hang on. We'll just wrap this program up here in just a moment after this break. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest has been Sarah Leslie. Sarah, do you want to get out your website and any information about your ministry?
Yes, I work with Discernment Ministries, and Discernment Ministries is located on the Internet at www.discernment-ministries.com, and there's a phone number that goes with the ministry, 903-567-6423. If people are interested in ordering the tapes that I spoke about from the conference, there's a couple of conferences scheduled this fall that some of your listeners might be interested in, and that's where they can also purchase a copy of the Pied Pipers of Purpose, which gets into Peter Drucker's relationship with Rick Warren and how that's influenced his whole church model as well.
And, of course, Peter Drucker is a major person, a major guru of this whole movement. In fact, he would be considered the guru of the church growth movement, but it's simply, I believe, partly Peter Drucker, partly Robert Schuller, and then this whole idea of transformation of Christianity.
Yes.
A management technique to make the church grow, and a new religion to make it more palatable. And certainly nobody would ever be offended by the new message. The only people who would be offended by it would be people who remember the old message of Christianity, that we are all sinners saved by God.
Right. That's it, exactly.
All right, well, we've got about a minute and a half. What's the message you would like to leave with our listeners this evening, Sarah?
I would just like to encourage people. This book by Warren Smith called Deceived on Purpose, I can't emphasize enough how easy this is to read. I'm sure you found this out when you got your copy, that this is the kind of book you can sit down and read in an hour or two. It's easy to read. He writes the same way he talks, and it's the kind of book you can give to people, even if you couldn't give them anything else. You can at least persuade them, hey, read this. This is easy to read. And it goes down easy. You know, it's not confrontational. It's just explained in a really nice tone of voice, you know, why he had reservations about this and what his concerns were, because he came out of the New Age movement. He doesn't want to see the church head right back into the New Age movement or head into it. You know, that's the burden of his heart.
I think he has an advantage over the rest of us because he understands the New Age. He understands how subtle it is, like the serpent, as it were. And so we certainly encourage people to get the book, and you can get it by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sarah. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
It was nice being with you again. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, as you know, we usually don't get into discussions of this sort, but on the other hand, I have to bring out what's going on, because this is a burden on my heart. They're destroying the music of the church, and if you haven't heard our 4-tape set on musical madness, or you haven't read the book The Crisis in Christian Music, why you need to get it. They've changed the message of the church. We have a wonderful 4-tape set on Whatever Happened to Hell. We have a 4-tape set on the church growth movement. Another 4-tape set on the apostate church. We have, of course, the video Diaprax in the Church, which goes into the whole occult foundation of this new religion that is sweeping Christendom not only here in the United States but throughout the world. And you need to understand it, and you need to be able to discuss it intelligently with other people, because unless you are aware of what's happening, it seems so good. It makes you feel so good. It makes you feel so enthusiastic about what's happening. And so let me suggest that you give serious consideration to getting our material, and you'll certainly want to get this book, Deceived on Purpose, that will help you to understand that when you hear these phrases, as above, so below, when you begin to read this biblical translation or biblical discussion called The Message, which is the basis of the purpose-driven church, and their new message, you realize it's not the message of the Bible. They're simply altering the words of the Bible so that they can use the foundation and the framework of Christianity for the new religion that they're introducing, not only here in California, not here in the United States, but throughout the world. And this is a worldwide vision to bring about God's dream. Well, who did God give his dream to? Why, he gave it to Bruce Wilkinson and to Rick Warren. But really, it's the dream of Peter Drucker and Robert Schuller, the men working behind the scenes, pulling the strings. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have an obligation to speak out and to stand for righteousness. And if you're in a church that's going this way, you need to understand what's happening. You need to try to get others to understand. If you end up being thrown out of your church, as you probably will be, you'll be known as a blessed subtraction. Why understand? It's the price you're going to have to pay. And if you're not willing to pay it now, what happens when the government takes a staunch anti-Christian position? Are you going to compromise your Christianity because now the state doesn't approve of it? We're headed towards a new world order, a new world economic system, a new world monetary system, and a new world religion. And when you understand that, then everything makes sense. We hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs on the Internet there 5 hours a day. You can hear our programs on shortwave 4 hours a day. You can, of course, pull down our newsletters and copy them and distribute them. And people are doing this, and more people all across America are learning about our ministry and learning what's really going on and learning about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll Many of you will seriously consider coming to the conference we're going to be having here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay on November 6th. That's a Saturday, an all-day-long session. We're going to bring in Joe Schimmel, who is the minister who put together the video, the 4 or the 10 hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's the 4 or the 10 hour version of, believe me, it's amazing, amazing. You can sit there. I've watched the 4 hour version. I haven't seen the 10 hour version, but we've had people who've seen the 10 hour version and have ordered, many of them to give out to their friends. So you need to have the information and then you need to help us get it out across America. So if you want to come to our all-day conference, lunch is going to be served. It's going to be a great time. Call 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here for the second hour of our program this evening, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us this evening Fosty Wooldridge. We're going to be talking about his book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion and Deadly Consequences. That Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences. Frosty, thank you so very much for being with us.
Good evening, sir. It's really a pleasure to be with you this evening.
Well, I just read your book, and it's a fascinating book, and lots of great information in it. But let's get, the background give us the problem as you see it, and of course I think that wonderful quotation from Governor Lamb when he was addressing the group in Washington, D.C. about how he would go about destroying America. In fact, I hope you'll get into that, because what Governor Lamb said when he talked to FAIR, that's what Federation for American Immigration Reform, something of that sort.
That's correct.
Or Foundation for American Immigration Reform, talking about, if you wanted to destroy America, why you would have try to get a bilingual society, a multicultural society. You would try to have separate groups, and so you could play one against the other, and that's exactly what they're doing. He gave an beautiful description of what they're doing in America, and what they're doing in America is not by accident. The people in Washington, D.C. are not stupid. They're not foolish. They're not idealistic. They have a goal, in my estimation. They want to destroy America. They've wanted to become a multicultural society because their ultimate goal is not the preservation of our society, but a new world order, a new world economic system, a new world monetary system, and certainly a new world religion. With that as the background, Frosty, why don't you pick up the story?
The key about this whole crisis that is now occurring in America is a nation-destroying experiment by those in high, powerful places that simply are forcing upon all of us, the American citizenry, and this culture, a massive invasion of people of from disparate cultures, from disparate kinds of behavior, certainly from incompatible religions, and certainly the final crisis, of course, is that their numbers are never ending. And even though these idealists, much like Marx, thought that they could impose this thing upon us, what they don't realize is that when you import enough of the third world into a first world country like this, you do not raise third world people into first world thinking and or actions and or enculturation. What happens, much like a clear stream that now has a muddy river flowing into it, the clear stream becomes a muddy river. And that's what's happening here in this country.
But have you ever thought that they know exactly what they're doing and they want to destroy America? There's some people who hate our country and hate our culture and would destroy it. And have you ever considered that this is not stupidity on their part? They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know.
That's correct. There is no question that we have, in this country today, we have people that are literally out to destroy this country. And if you look at what's happening across the country, you can see that that destruction is marching full force across the nation. And, of course, the 12 points of the destruction are enumerated in my book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences. And each American citizen can, if they will, connect the dots quite readily. And hopefully that's what we're doing right now, so that American citizens not only wake up, but start taking action on behalf of their children and the future of this country.
Well, of course, if we do not stop the immigration invasion, if we do not, of course, try to maintain a culture, maintain a one nation under God, if we do not return to the common religion and common culture, then we will lose America.
That's exactly correct, and we're in the process of it right now. If you look at California, California right now is literally becoming a third world country. You have the mixture of Babylon, if you will, with over 100 different languages being spoken by all of these immigrants, both legal and illegal. You have the crisis of finances that California is suffering, $38 billion in debt. It also spends $2.2 billion each year on illegal alien children being educated in our schools. You have the crisis of population, where there's 600 cars being added to California every day, net gain. You have 1,500 people immigrating into California every day, which is exploding the population to an added 20 million people within the next 30 years. Just do the math and you can see that. You also have the crisis of education. One of the things that most Americans don't realize is that democracy in this republic is a very delicate form of government, and it requires four aspects. And those four aspects are, first of all, a highly educated population so that they can carry on literally the governance of this republic and through a democracy. You have to have a population with a moral and similar moral and ethical foundation, and you absolutely must have a single language so that all of these people in this society can talk to one another, communicate, and move in the same direction. We, of course, as you can see in California and many other states, are losing all four of those aspects, and therefore democracy in this great republic cannot last with an uneducated population with diverse tongues and incompatible cultures. So you can see we're really in big trouble.
Well, of course, Frosty, I can remember back in 1987 and 1988 when Senator Hayakawa was trying to get legislation through at the national level that would make English the official language of the United States. And it seemed like such a logical thing. I mean, after all, we want to have one language, one people. And, of course, Senator Hayakawa is of Japanese origin, but he was an American, a loyal American. And he had, of course, tremendous opposition. The legislation didn't get any place. Because even back then, there were people who knew what the secret agenda was. They couldn't tell the American people that they wanted a multicultural society, a multilingual society, a society that they would be able to play one group against the other, as they do in Canada, as they do in so many countries throughout the world. We have conflicting religions in France, as you pointed out so well in your book. Why, you know, you've got this tremendous influx of Muslims, and of course they're keeping their culture, they're keeping their language, they're keeping their religion. And of course France is a divided society, and America is to become equally divided, not by accident, but actually by organized intent.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Frosty Wooldridge, and of course his book is Immigration's Unarmed Invasion. If you're out there in the listening audience, don't be bashful. Frosty will be glad to talk to you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And this is a very insightful book that really gets into the tragedy of this immigration problem, really beginning when they changed our immigration laws in 1965, and as our attention was focused on the flag draped coffins returning from Vietnam and the weeping widows and weeping mothers, these young men who'd gone overseas to fight for freedom, why we were losing our freedom at home, because of course they changed their immigration laws and so many other things that they did. But the immigration law was part of the key. 1965, that during the heat of the Vietnam War, they knew exactly what they were doing. But of course, the American people didn't know. Pick up the story from there, Frosty.
Well, in 1965, Teddy Kennedy led a charge. And of course, as we all know, Teddy Kennedy hasn't done an honest day's work in his entire life. And he's actually become the architect of the destruction of America through the 1965 Immigration Reform Act. It changed the normal immigration into this country of about 175,000 people per year, which was the same number that egressed out of this country, to well over a million. And very quickly, the corporations started busting up unions because they had all this million new hands to start doing the work, and also at lower wages with no standards of OSHA and so forth. And then very soon after that, because Ike Eisenhower was no longer in office to keep the illegal alien migration in check, which he did while he was in office, the corporation started hauling illegal aliens up from the Mexican border. Of course, they live in the third world down there, and they are in horrible straits. And these illegal aliens started trickling in. Well, now they're trickling.
I wouldn't call it trickling. I would say like flowing, or like a deluge, really.
Well, they're just like the Mississippi River. They're coming in without pause. And since that 65 nightmare, we have hit the iceberg like the Titanic has, of population crisis to the tune of well over 60 million people have now flowed into this country without end. And now the average is somewhere, according to the Time magazine article, well over 4 million per year. And of course, if anyone knows their demographics, there's no end to that line. We can take 4 or 5 million per year, but there's another 75 million out there waiting at the gates, so much so that this country will turn into another Bangladesh or a China or an India, with a population numbers so great that we'll all be living at the level of subsistence that they do in third worlds.
Now, you talk about, of course, originally why we were taking, about 175,000 a year legal immigrants. And now they've massively expanded the legal immigration, and that says nothing about the illegal immigration, which is the great thing, which is actually being encouraged, financed by the Ford Foundation, financed by our own government, where, of course, they force hospitals to provide free medical care for anybody who is here illegally, and any efforts to try to counter that are swiftly undercut. Free education, free welfare, driver's licenses, even trying many times people who are here illegally can buy homes subsidized by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Something's wrong. Why would they be doing this unless they wanted to destroy America?
And that's exactly what they're doing. And it's Arnold Toynbee, the great historian, once observed that all great civilizations rise and fall, and then an autopsy of history would show that all great nations commit suicide. And here in the United States today, that's exactly what the Congress and the present president and the past presidents, both sides of the aisle there in Congress, are doing to the American people right now. We have created a wonderful society, a wonderful free society, the envy of the world, but we are now in the process of seeing it totally taken away from us by our own leaders.
And I love that quotation of Arnold Toynbee. All great civilizations have committed suicide. All great civilizations have committed suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, we're a great civilization, and we're committing suicide. Switzerland wouldn't allow this to happen. Switzerland doesn't allow people to come in, and most countries do not allow people to just come in and live, and certainly not come in and go on welfare. But that's the way we have it here in this country. You come to America, it's the land of milk and honey, and you can get free medical care and education. Here in California, if you are an illegal immigrant, you can go to college more cheaply than if you're an American citizen from the state of Nevada. We're subsidizing people to come here illegally and violate our laws. We have lawbreakers in Washington, D.C., and both George Bush and John Kerry support amnesty for the people who are here illegally. They're traitors to our country.
And they are also in violation of their oath of office. Not only Bush, but John Kerry is in violation of his oath of office, because each one of those men, in their actions in the Senate, certainly as the governor of Texas, and certainly now as the president of the United States, swore on a Bible to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, and they are doing nothing of the sort as we see this invasion escalate every day.
And, of course, 4 million people a year, we've gone, as you pointed out, from 1964, from a population of about 199 million about 280 million today, 290 million?
293 million, that's correct.
293 million. People don't understand. This is going to destroy the infrastructure of this country. And, of course, now we've even agreed that people who come here and work even for a few quarters here illegally, they go back to Mexico, and they can get Social Security after having worked in America illegally. Why would we reward them with that? Very simply, you have to understand, this whole law-breaking scheme is being subsidized, but they don't want to let the American people know that the people who really rule America don't believe in our laws. We have a Congress, they pass laws, but the leadership ignores it, whether Democrats or Republicans, because they have a different agenda. And that agenda is the destruction of America, destruction of our sovereignty, and ultimately the impoverishment of our people. That's the tragedy, because what we're going to do is raise the living standards of our citizens to that of the Bolivian peasant, and the average individual couldn't believe that could be possible. Why leaders wouldn't do that, they would say, and I would ask, why not? See what they're doing.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And if you can look across the nation today, we have 15 to 18 million people, American citizens, who are out of work. They've been displaced by the 15 million illegal aliens that have come into this country, along with the over 1 million L1 and H1B visas that have taken some of our finest employees out of the high-tech arenas and given those jobs to Chinese and Pakistanis and Indians. To the detriment of our own American citizens. And if you look at all the construction crews that are going on out there, our blue-collar, middle-class Americans have been taken out of the jobs, from landscape to drywalling to roofing to construction jobs, and they're now being colonized by illegal aliens from foreign countries. And, of course, in the book, as you can remember, sir, the fact is Third World Momentum, which is the corruption of the Third World, is now injecting itself into this country at a very fast pace, and we're all going to be and are now suffering from it. And California, of course, is the leading edge of the Titanic, essentially the starboard side, and I think at this point Arizona is the bow. But the fact is, whether you are in the stern, such as New York or even Florida, we're all going to go down.
And I think it's so important that this is not simply California. Certainly we are in the vanguard of this, but in fact they actually intend to take over our countries. They openly talk about taking California and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas as all part of Aztlan, theoretical or the mythical land of the ancient Aztecs. Aztecs were never even up in this area, but They really believe the Mexican children have been taught that the gringos stole the land from them, and you were even talking in your book about how in Los Angeles, which is no longer an American city, why many of the young people, young Mexican children, are wearing T-shirts saying, gringo, go home.
That's correct, and of course it's going to be more virulent as time goes on, because as more and more illegal aliens and certainly those persons that are settling in California and Arizona continue to take over by sheer numbers, more and more Americans, of course, are going to be running from that kind of an ethnic quagmire. And one of the reasons that Mexico is in such a mess that it is because of the illiteracy rate of its people. And now the latest reports are that half the children in California, in the Los Angeles area, are functionally illiterate. They can't read, they can't write, and of course that then goes into, what do? Well, they usually join gangs, or they get pregnant and have unbelievable numbers of babies that then go on the welfare. They become a burden to the society instead of an addition to the society, but what they do is become an ethnic enclave for Mexico to literally continue to creep in and take over and literally reabsorb, if you will, California and the border states back into the umbrella of Mexico, so then they can turn all of the Southwest into the same kind of a quagmire of the third world that Mexico is at this point in time.
Now, why would the Ford Foundation be funding this whole thing? For those of you who don't know that the Ford Foundation funds it, they do. Do you cover that at all in your book, Frosty?
Yes, I do. They're the Ford Foundation, not the car company, of course. Socialist places like the Southern Poverty Organization. There are forces that absolutely feel strongly that the Southwest of America belongs to Mexico, and they're fighting to literally change the culture and the ethnic makeup of those states so much so that it becomes so powerful that it does get literally seeded back into Mexico, and they are against all American interests. LULAC, CHIRLA, La Raza, all highly racist groups that simply can't wait to get California and the border states back into the loop of Mexico, because they feel is theirs in the first place, and they are at this point succeeding.
And of course they're funded by the Ford Foundation for your tax-exempt money. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Frosty Wooldridge. Of course, we're talking about his book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But Frosty, of course, you've done a great job on this book, putting a great deal of information together. How is it that you got involved in this battle?
Well, I have had a very fortunate life as a teacher. In the summers, for over 25 years, I've traveled on a bicycle over 100,000 miles on six continents, and I've ridden my bicycle six times across the United States. And I have seen up close and personal and up close and ugly the crisis of population and struggling multi-ethnic groups and multiple languages around the world, and the violence that is created, incompatible cultures and religions that are incompatible at each other's throats throughout the world. And I've also seen the crisis of population in Bangladesh, China, and India. And as these things started to connect the dots in my mind, I realized the same thing was happening here in America. Because as the book notes, the way to destroy America is to turn it into a bilingual or a multilingual and bicultural country, because history shows that no nation can survive the tension and the conflict and the antagonisms of two or more competing languages and cultures. And of course, I saw that in my travels. And because I did see that, I literally am a bicycling Paul Revere coming back to America saying, "Hey, fellow Americans, we're in trouble if we try to follow that kind of history." It's already been shown in Belgium, and certainly in Malaysia and Lebanon and Cyprus and Pakistan and Nigeria. France now is in big, big trouble, that it does not work. And I've seen it not work, and I can see right now that we are on a track to self-destruction if we continue on this path and leave these borders open.
And of course, as Arnold Toynbee said, most great civilizations, or all great civilizations, have committed suicide. We're committing suicide. And let's go to Fred in Philadelphia. Hi, Fred.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I love the show. It's
what part of Philadelphia do you live in? Oh, just it's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that there's an interesting facet to this in that if you look at the money flows, you have an elite in Mexico that just absolutely, even at the point of a gun, they just refuse to invest in their own country, and no one is shaming them, no one is confronting them about it, and the elite in this country is kissing up to them. I mean, look at the money flows, look at the the way that they don't live up to their own standards of conduct because they refuse to be citizens of their own countries.
All right, well, I think the interesting thing is that, of course, we're largely supporting Mexico today. Frosty, what is it about? The people here send about, what, $10 billion from here to Mexico? How much are we sending there?
Illegal immigrants and Mexican immigrants, which now number 9.2 million here in the United States, they've just literally transplanted themselves, now send $15 billion annually back into Mexico, and it is the second leading amount of money going into their coffers besides oil. Another $25 billion is sent into Central and South America by those immigrants, and $16 billion goes into Asia from the Asian immigrants. So in other words, these immigrants
hold
are not American.
Hold that thought right there just for a moment.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is, of course, is Frosty Wooldridge, and we're talking about what's really happening as far as Mexico is concerned, how the people, both legal and illegal immigrants from Mexico, are spending about $15 billion of money from the United States into Mexico. That doesn't enter into our economy. That's taken out of our economy. Now, we already have about a $500 billion trade deficit. And then, of course, there's a $15 billion into Mexico. What about $35 billion into Latin and South America?
It's $25 billion, but then also that you have to take into account that also Mexico takes in $110 billion in just hard currency drug money annually that comes across the border.
Yeah.
So as you can see, Mexico is not a very nice neighbor. They're actually financially bleeding us to death.
Well, of course, you know, Mexico, what most Americans don't really understand is Mexico had a communist revolution there in the 30s, and it was foisted upon them in large part by people here in the United States, and they had true communism. They had a ruling elite, because that's what communism is really all about, and then the impoverishment of the rest of the people, and they maintained their power there from the 1930s up until the last election, and I don't really think there's much difference between Vicente Fox's party and the PRI. I think they're all part of the power elite, but at least it gives the people the idea that we have now in Mexico a two-party system, a democratic system. I'd like to suggest is very similar to what we have in America, with the Socialist Party A, Socialist Party B, or the Republicrats that we have here. But the people, at least in Mexico, are hoping against hope. There's going to be hope. Possibilities for them. What happens if you are a potential leader in Mexico, you're agitating the people, they will call you in and give you an offer you can't refuse. You come on board, we'll give you a nice, comfortable government job or educational job or job working in a corporation, or you'll be killed. And most of them, of course, accept that as an offer they can't refuse. And so they buy off the idealists. And I will tell you, they do exactly the same thing here in our country. 40 years ago, a young professor up at the University of California was writing about the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bohemian Grove, and America's invisible government. Today, he's a professor up there in charge of his department. He doesn't even remember, and I've asked him to come on my programs, he can't remember any of the things he wrote about 30 years or 40 years ago. Isn't that interesting? That happens in any system where you have a ruling hierarchy, and increasingly we're moving in the same direction as Mexico.
Oh, yeah, we're destroying the middle class here in America right now.
Right.
Dr. Stan, well...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there was a huge story that was not covered by... The only place it was covered was George Magazine, which went out of business This is about the summer of 97 when they reported on this El Paso kingpin receiving net, and I don't mean gross, but a net income from the drug business of $300 million a month. And any way that you slice that, that's tremendously significant. $300 million a month?
Of course, you remember what happened to the editor of George Magazine.
Right, and you know, that's not an exaggeration, because I remember hearing on the radio that there was a government report that was repeated once on a radio station. I never heard it again about the tail section of that plane being detached from the rest of the plane by some sort of not a failure, but an explosion of some sort.
Well,
it didn't just drift down to the placid waters of the near bay. That's a lot of baloney.
Well, of course, he's speaking about the strange death of Jack Kennedy's son, John Kennedy. Okay,
and, right.
Let's get the thoughts of Frosty. Do you have any comments at all on what Fred has been saying?
He certainly has a cogent point there, and certainly if you look across the country at the different things that are happening, there's no question this country is being led without its knowledge in so many ways, and just like sheep, into this crisis. And the thing is, it's a crisis that we may not survive if we do not at some point rise up collectively across the country to stop it, because these people are dedicated to what they are doing. And the social elites, the moneyed elites, literally can do anything they want. Even keep reelecting all these very bogus, violating of their oath of office senators and congressmen. I mean, Chris Cannon of Utah just got reelected there. Colby just overran Graff in Arizona, and it all got down to money, and people just simply are not thinking or really studying up at the polls and just keep electing what is the most money, and so we all lose in the process.
Anything else you want to say, Fred?
Well, it's the press. The press is it's been on other GCN shows.
Mm-hmm.
The press is controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be our own media, our own press, to try to neutralize that. That's all.
That's what Radio Liberty is about. Please get other people to listen. God bless you. Thanks
right.
so much for calling.
God bless you, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Frosty Wooldridge. And, of course, we've got Bernice calling from Michigan. And once again, our telephone number, if you're out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Bernice. How are you doing? Oh, let's see. There's Bernice. Hi, Bernice.
Hi. I would like to tell you about what...
Oh, speak up just a little louder, please.
Okay. I called about our state here in Michigan. I'm 10 miles south of Detroit.
All right, fine. Are you listening on the Detroit station then?
Yes, I am.
You're in Monroe then?
No, I'm in Southgate, Michigan.
Okay, I'm a Michigan State University grad, so I pretty much know where you are.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here in Dearborn, if you're from Michigan, you probably know this already. In Dearborn, Michigan, we have thousands of Muslims.
Yes, you do.
And all over, downriver, they own all the party stores, they own all the gas stations, they own the dollar stores. There's about everything that was American is now Arabic or Muslim.
But you see, Barnes, this was done on purpose, intentionally.
Yes.
Our leaders knew what they were doing. Bobby Kennedy knew what he was doing, or Ted Kennedy knew what he was doing. And, and of course, these people have a different worldview than you and I. Their loyal is not to America.
No.
Yeah, they will actually say they're Muslims first, not Americans.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm very, very concerned. In fact, recently they were talking about, you know, having the call to worship there put out, across the city. Did they?
They did it.
Yes, they did it. It's successful. They are doing it.
I'll tell you what, if you've ever lived in a Muslim city or been there for any period of time, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, why that loudspeaker comes on, and this fellow starts his, you know, his call to worship in Arabic, it's pretty disquieting. I imagine that that will move the few remaining Christians out of the city in no time.
Well, the citizens of Hamtramck took them to court and made them, there's only certain hours now that they can use it.
All right.
And they made them lower it.
All right, fine.
So at least they stood up and fought.
All right, fine.
And won, thank God.
But I see...
A little bit, anyway.
What this is designed to do is to divide our country. I mean, when you're a Muslim, you're going to be a Muslim. You're going to hold to Muslim beliefs and Muslim culture, and you're not going to change them. So why did we bring them in?
Right.
We brought them here so we could have a conflict. That's what it's about. And they're going to be used in this whole thing. Just as the Muslims in Europe are going to be used as cannon fodder, and I think in the coming race war.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, we also have a lot of Mexicans here, too.
Hold that talk for just a moment. We're going to have to bring our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we have with us this evening is our special guest, Frosty Wooldridge. We're talking about his book, Immigrations, Unarmed Invasion. That's Immigrations, Unarmed Invasion. We have Bernice calling us from Michigan. She's just south of Detroit, listening on the Detroit station, and she's talking about what's going on in Dearborn, where of course they're simply, the whole area has been taken over by Muslims. Are they are the majority of the occupants of Dearborn today, are they, Bernice?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They're all over downriver.
Okay.
But that's the largest population of them is in Dearborn.
Thank you, Spencer Abrams.
So, I mean, it's just like living in, it's like visiting little Iraq or something, I guess.
Well, then, of course, what about the, you say you're getting a large contingent of Mexicans there as well, so
yes.
Now we can really get a race war going?
Yes, we sure do. I mean, they're in construction. You see them building houses, putting roofs on, they're doing everything.
Well, now, of course, how do the people up there feel about the large Muslim contingent in the country?
We don't like it.
Well, what about, you know, the thing is, you have to understand that what they're trying to do is play one group against the other.
Yes.
And that's why they brought them in here. That's why they encouraged them to come, because they want to divide our country. And when you understand that, then you can begin to understand what's happening. And we can't let them force us to do what they want us to do.
Well, as a matter of fact, Dr. Stan and Bernice, the sixth point for America's downfall in the book would be to include dual citizenship and promote divided loyalties. And he said, celebrate diversity over unity and stress differences rather than similarities. And it's been found that diverse people worldwide are mostly engaged in hating each other, and that is when they are not killing each other. A diverse, peaceful, or stable society is against most historical precedent. And, of course, as they continue to inject this very incompatible Middle Eastern culture and religion into this country, we are all at risk, because the bottom line with the Muslim religion is not peace, but submission. And as I state in the book, the Muslim religion basically states that you must kill all Jews and pagans and convert or kill all non-believers. And if you don't do that successfully, you are to cut off their heads and their fingertips. And if you look across the Muslim world today, the most violent terror, the killing of the Beslan Russia children in the school was committed by Muslims. And Islam itself has a world domination in the Quran itself to make sure that Islam reigns supreme in the world, and that is in the Quran itself. So all of us, Christian, Jews, and even non-believers, are in deep trouble once Muslims get into a majority situation. They don't play by anybody's rules. They simply take over. And if you are in their gun sights, you will be dispatched at any point.
And, of course, what we're doing is telling people that traditional Americans don't have any more children, and the Muslims are having 7, 8, 9, 10
mm-hmm.
children. I think that Bernice wants to know what can be done. What would you say to Bernice? What can be done? We have this situation. How are we going to deal with it?
First of all, Bernice, and all listeners out there, I would invite everyone to become a part of the grassroots organizations across America that are starting to fight this immigration invasion and get it back into our control. go to www.numbersusa.com. That's NUMBERSUSA.com. Also, they're in Michigan. Go to www.thesocialcontract.com. Thesocialcontract.com. Also, you can go to my website, FrostyWooldridge.com, for an action letter that will be passed around to all your friends. And the key here is to become a faxer in Numbers USA so that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of faxes go into leaders across the country monthly to stop this invasion. And that Numbers USA is highly powerful. If you don't have much time, it just takes 5 minutes a week. You can punch in pre-written letters and be highly powerful. The social contract will fill you in on the action items of what you can do in the state and local communities and nationally. My website will also get you there. Make sure that you also could join Team, it's called TeamAmericaPAC.org. That's P-A-C. TeamAmericaPAC.org. That's an organization getting American citizens to vote for congressmen and senators who are going to stop this immigration invasion. And the key is to create enough Americans in mass collectively to be so powerful that this issue will not go away. Force the president and the Congress to stop this immigration nightmare. My book calls for a 10-year moratorium on all immigration, and it calls for troops on the borders, as well as arresting and deporting illegal aliens and arresting and literally imprisoning and fining employers who are employing those illegal aliens, so much so that they start self-deporting out of this country so that we can get our country back and our American citizens can have their jobs. There are also 15 points in my book where you can save America. So if you want that book, you can go to toll-free 1-888-280-7715. And that is a handbook for survival for this country, as Dr. Stan may tell you, because he has read it. And once you read it, it will connect all the dots. And it is my goal, and Dr. Stan's goal, and all other concerned Americans, is to connect the dots, wake up American citizens, so that we in mass use our talents, our creativity, to bring this crisis out of the dark and into the American public. If you want to really read quickly about it, see this week's Time magazine. There's a 17-page expose report in Time titled "Who Left the Door Open" by Bartlett and Steele. And I mean, when you read this, you're absolutely going to fall out of your chair at how fast this invasion is going across America.
Okay, do you have anything else you would like to say, Bernice?
I just want to say thank you so much. I just found your program 3 nights ago.
All right, fine. Now, of course, you're listening there on the station out of Detroit.
Yes, WLQV, 1500 AM.
God bless. Thanks very much.
God bless, and thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment on the subject we're talking about, and that is, of course, the immigration invasion that is designed to destroy America, and our leaders know what they're doing, and both George W. Bush and John Kerry favor amnesty for people who've come into this country illegally, but it's part of a much larger plan. They can't let you understand what this is really about. It's about the destruction of American national sovereignty. And out of the chaos that is coming, people will be willing to give up their freedom as we move towards the New World Order. The New World Religion is we unite the entire Western Hemisphere, first of all for trade purposes, and then economically, and then politically, and then we move towards this one world government, which has always been the dream, going back literally thousands of years. And you remember, of course, Alexander the Great, who was deeply involved with the occult himself. And, of course, this was the source of his great military prowess, which nobody ever wants to talk about. But he, of course, was going to conquer the entire world. He did a pretty good job of it. Fortunately, he died at a young age. But, of course, we're seeing in our lifetime these things come to fruition, and we can either stand up and do something, or we can lay back and do absolutely nothing. And the book, of course, is very provocative, has a great deal of excellent information in it. Frosty, are you running into people across America who are concerned or are willing to get involved with us in this effort to try to take America back?
As a matter of fact, Dr. Stan, I am. I receive now well over 600 email letters per month now, and that's been growing because the crisis is literally spreading like a cancer so fast that we are starting to choke up on our lungs, choke up on our liver, choke up on our stomach, and our lymph systems are starting to go down. Our children are suffering in our schools. The kinds of crimes, the rape, the financial crisis that we're literally injecting into ourselves is becoming so great that the American middle class is starting to reel. And amazingly enough, I've gotten well over 100 letters. The book is now publishing in Europe also. I've gotten 100 letters from Europeans, from Britain and Norway and Denmark and Holland and Italy and France and Germany. They said, my gosh, Mr. Wooldridge, you have told the story as it is happening here. We are as in much danger as you are, as we are also being overrun. So, yes, the American public is hopefully waking up and fast enough starting to do and take the actions that are needed, or we are. I don't think we have much more than between 18 and 24 months if we don't get the borders closed down. We are going to be literally a ship without a sail. We will not be able to take this country into our own destiny. It's going to be taken out of our hands by the sheer numbers that are now here and coming at a horrific rate of speed.
Do you have any idea how many border guards we have on the southern border? Do you have any idea how many people work for INS?
I think it's around 9,000.
I thought it was so interesting. Just about 2 days ago, there was an article on the radio, and it commented that President Bush wants to appropriate a couple of billion dollars for hiring people over in Europe, in Iraq. And one of the things was he wanted to hire 20,000 more border guards for Iraq to keep people from coming across the borders into Iraq. And I thought to myself how strange it is that we have plenty of money for hiring border guards in Iraq, but we don't have any money for hiring border guards to protect our borders here in the United States. So you wonder where the administration's real loyalty is. Is the loyalty here in America to preserve our country, or is the loyalty over there in Iraq to protect the Iraqi people? It's an interesting thing to contemplate why we're so concerned about border security in Iraq, and they're doing everything they can to block doing what would be necessary to seal our borders here in the United States. And I agree with you totally. We have to cut off both legal and illegal immigration totally. And, of course, I believe have to make it a criminal activity to hire people who are not here legally. And at that point, when you start sending people to prison here in the United States for hiring people who are here illegally, why, of course, that you're going to begin to stop this whole foolishness. But I don't think it's going to happen until the American people are incensed. And the only thing that's going to get them incensed is those emails and those letters and those calls and those faxes from people across America who say, don't you want to save America? Don't you want to live up to your sworn oath to preserve and protect our Constitution from all enemies, public and foreign and domestic? Are you a domestic enemy of America? I think that's a good question to ask almost all of our elected representatives.
That's correct. I certainly agree with you, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, do you want to just go into the things that people can do?
The biggest and most powerful things you can do right now, and this is, and I have been with this organization for quite a few years, Numbers USA is now gaining 1,000 members per day. They send over 100,000 faxes per month, and now let's just pretend, let's just have a guest wish list that because of tonight, over 10,000 new members join Numbers USA and become faxers once a week and send in the pre-written letters to their representatives. Just imagine how powerful you'll become, because each week Numbers educates you to what they're sending and what they're doing and what you can do. You can become a phone-in, you can be the fax-in, you can write letters to the editor. We have empowered you to empower yourself, and then what happens when you tell 10 of your friends? So that's very, very powerful. If you come to my website, frostywooldridge.com, I will send you a letter that is an email letter that you can send to 10 of your friends, and they can send to 10 of their friends. And remember, an avalanche takes not just one snowflake, it takes billions and trillions of snowflakes to become powerful. And so here, singularly, Bernice can't do anything to stop this thing, but 100,000 Bernices, 1 million Bernices, and her husband, Harry or Jack or whomever, will then turn into 10 million. And so the key here is to collectively come together as American citizens and literally take to the streets. The Ken and John show there in Los Angeles is doing an assassination of these congressmen and senators who aren't doing their jobs, so they're going to become very effective. And
who do they pick? They were going to pick one of the congressmen. I hope they pick David Dreyer.
That's right. They've picked David Dreyer to assassinate him, figuratively, of course, but to get him out of the Congress because he is pro-illegal immigration, pro-borders, and pro-destruction of the United States. And here's a man who swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States, but in fact is supporting Mexico and all other literally enemies of the United States in this massive invasion of illegal aliens.
Yeah, Chris, that's really interesting, because I've known David Dreyer for 25 years, and when he went back to Congress, he was a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, as the conservatives were out walking the precincts to get him elected. I had dinner with him. He talked about his dedication to America, but that was 25 or more years ago. Trouble is, he's been in Washington, D.C. too long. He's joined the Council on Foreign Relations. He's been put on all sorts of important committees. He's been buttered up. He's been flattered. And he's sold out his conservative principles, for this promise of staying in Congress indefinitely. And, you know, a lot of these people really aren't dedicated to the right or the left. They're dedicated to staying in Washington, D.C. And as much as I liked David Dreyer 25 years ago when I knew him and supped with him and talked with him, I hope that they get him out, because I think this has to be a message, and we've got to get people back in Washington, D.C. to know that we're going to come after them if they do not do what's right, if they betray America. He is, of course, following the path of the Council on Foreign Relations, the internationalists, those people whose dedication is not to America but to this internationalist dream. And I hope David Dreyer is retired in November.
Along with Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I can think of a lot of people I'd like to get out, David Dreyer is the one who's being targeted in Southern California, isn't he?
Yes, he's the one, and everyone in California, please take action to get Dreyer out of there, because he is absolutely a waste as a representative of American citizens. He's the enemy. He has become the enemy. He does not deserve to be or remain in this Congress.
No, because he's a Republican. Are they going after a Democrat too, or are they just going after a Republican?
They're actually going after one at a time to be very effective and target these people. And it doesn't really matter whether they go after Republicans or Democrats, because both sides of the aisle are literally bent on destroying America as we know it right now.
I think it's a really very interesting thing, because we're not hearing about this across America, but this is a very popular radio show there, and of course they're on every day and they're talking about this, and these two fellows talk back and forth, and this is what they've come up with as a plan, and they're getting tremendous support from the people there in the Los Angeles area, aren't they?
They certainly are, and of course the Californians are being just literally having their home ripped out of their hands. Their society, their culture, their language. I mean, American citizens are being usurped in California. So yes, the ones that are still left that want their state go back to becoming an American state of the Union are fighting like crazy to do that. And Ken and John are really helping out, as all we are, if we continue to respond to this call.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a minute to wrap up this program. Let's get your telephone number out one more time.
Yes, for those who want to toll free for the book Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, it's 1-888-280-7715. It's only $14.50, and all proceeds will be given right back to this effort.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest has been Frosty Wooldridge, and it's been a fascinating hour, and I've certainly enjoyed talking to him, and the book has a lot of great information in it about really what's happening, so that you can point out the impact of this immigration on our society. And what we're doing, of course, we here in the United States have the average family has 2.03 children, and it takes about 2.1 children to reconstitute a society. So we're just barely keeping up with population. So why do we have so many people? why it is the illegal and illegal immigration. And don't get the two confused. You know, understand there's some people come here legally. Now, we're letting too many in, and we need to cut back dramatically on the number of people who are coming in here legally. In fact, I would tend to agree with Frosty. Would do well just to cut off all immigration totally for a period of time until we can get this constituent under control. But it is the massive illegal immigration that is being funded by the Ford Foundation and by our government and by the leaders of both political parties, by their legislative actions, that is actually encouraging people to violate our laws and come here, knowing full well that nothing is going to be done to them. And if I was living in Mexico, I'd want to come to America and get free medical care and free education for my family and subsidized college education and have an opportunity to make money and live in a society like we have. But unfortunately, we're not going to improve our society. We're going to destroy our society because they're going to bring their culture and their sense of lawlessness here. We're already beginning to see this all across California. Frosty, you got about a minute to wrap up your thoughts.
Well, each American citizen, whether you're Susan B. Anthony or Susan B. Anthony or a Betsy Ross or a Thomas Jefferson or a Martin Luther King or a Eleanor Roosevelt or whatever your talent is, they, in their time, did the best they could to bring this country into being and maintain it. Every combat soldier from Valley Forge to the jungles of Vietnam and now Iraq stepped up. And so I invite each one of you to step up for America and for your children and for the future. And like I say, you've got all the information tonight you need. And step up, become the writer, become the caller, become the activist, get out in the streets, and we will regain our country, and that is the goal, is to regain our country and get this crisis behind us so that we can go forward as a nation, one single language, one common people with a vision for the future of freedom, justice, and the right to pursue happiness, which we have brought into this world, and it's only going to come through your actions. God helps those who help themselves.
Goodbye, and thank you so much. God bless you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the program this evening. I think this is a very real problem. We've talked about it before, and we'll keep talking about all of these problems. And your job out there across America is to reach people and, of course, encourage them to listen to our programs, to get the education, to get the material we offer here through Radio Liberty, to understand that behind everything that's going on is a program, is a plan. As President Roosevelt had said so well in politics, if it happened, it wasn't an accident. It was planned that way, and they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. There really are people who hate America. They hate America because we've been a free society. They hate America because we were a Christian nation, and their goal is to destroy this nation and merge us into this one-world satanic society that they have planned for us. This is not accidental. It's on purpose. You need to get, of course, the books that information we have, a great book entitled Importing Immigration, goes into this subject in great detail. Frosty's book is excellent. We carry a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, that points out that the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie, have been working to push socialism and communism here in America for literally centuries. And we need to get the background of what's going on today. Understand the spiritual battle, and my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, does a pretty good job of that. If you haven't read it, you really should. We hope, of course, that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And there, of course, you can learn about our programs. We're on the Internet 5 hours a day. We're on shortwave 4 hours a day, certainly on satellite 4 hours a day, on radio somewhere in America, 5 hours every day. And, of course, our weekend program goes to 36 stations, I think, 35, 36 stations. Maybe they're only hearing half an hour, but at least they're hearing the truth. It's an expensive proposition, and so we do hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get our monthly newsletter, give us a call at that same number. We'll be glad to send you my August newsletter free of charge, which will tell you what Alan Greenspan really thinks. Not what he tells the American people, not what he tells Congress, but what he really thinks and believes. You'll find out what Warren Buffett thinks and believes and what Warren Buffett is doing. And believe me, Warren Buffett is very, very close to the people who rule the world. And, of course, he's investing accordingly. And you should be as well. So protect yourself, but remember, in the final analysis, our protection will not be in our material possessions, but in the protection we have from the Lord. But I'm not suggesting you don't make all the other protections, all the other plans for yourself and your survival. But remember, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, yes, even on a financial battlefield. Prepare for the worst and then, of course, trust in the Lord. We hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to coming to the meeting we're going to be having on the 6th of November here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And, of course, it's going to start early in the morning and go until evening. There'll be certainly a lunch will be served, so we have to know how many people are going to come. We're going to be bringing outside speakers, and we think it's going to be a great program. We hope you'll want to come. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please tell others about our radio program, and please encourage them to come to our Saturday meeting. That's the 6th of November, Saturday, all day long. It should be a good time. We're hoping to have people from across America. We know we're having people from, I think, Wisconsin and Minneapolis, and we're having from Southern California and from Colorado and from New England. And, of course, we hope perhaps, again, we'll have people from across the world. You'll have an opportunity to meet them, to talk to them, people who know what's going on, who share our concerns. So then that's the 6th of November. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.